you that are here for being here, even though it's the holiday season. Thanks for your attendance. As a reminder, please turn your cell phones to mute or vibrate. Roll call. Yep. Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
Commissioner Blackner?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson? Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Sinapa?
Here.
Commissioner Perez?
Supervisor.
Thank you. Okay. Approval of the summary proceedings from the October meeting. I hope the commission had a chance to take a look at it. If there's any errors or corrections.
It looks fine to me, except
the livestock.
Yeah, the livestock subcommittee is supposed to be disbanded, but it's on the agenda for tonight. So
I got word from Amber that she forgot to take it off.
Okay. So we just cross it off on our agenda for tonight?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is it cross off what?
The livestock under old business. The livestock containment committee for tonight.
Oh, we are going to take it off?
Yeah. We're going to be off.
Okay, good. So,
hang on a second, because I just got this. I have two things that are summary proceedings for October 17th. And one of them, page two, is approval of summary of proceedings. But the other page two starts with consent agenda, and then goes to public presentation and staff announcements. Is one of these supposed to be November? What is the deal here?
This is for the October meeting that we have. We're just trying to approve the minutes.
What I'm saying is I just ripped apart the packet that's back there. I have two documents that say summary of proceedings, October 17, 2018. Mm-hmm. There's one.
Okay, on the front page, does it say B, approval of summary proceedings on the front page?
That's on one version.
Okay.
Well, no, that's on both versions. Okay,
Is it possible you received two summary proceedings? Is that what is happening?
Might be that. You said they look different.
This is what I have. Okay. Then there are two of them.
Yeah, you get it back after you open.
Then the attorney is back.
I didn't do it.
I just had one.
I don't get the.
Okay, this
are
one.
There one is right.
Your agenda shirt at the back of your.
Oh, is it at the back of it?
Yeah. Look at the back of your packet and see.
This is December. This is October.
October. Okay, then one of the ones that says October on the
front. Oh, I see. The date on the bottom is different.
It's not October. It's December.
Okay, so this one looks like it's all current. It says all October on the bottom.
Right.
So I would just scratch this one.
Well, no, because there's December.
This is tonight's agenda.
No.
Oh, no, it's just the front page was wrong.
Oh, okay.
It's only the front page. It looks like that's what it is. Is they put the wrong front page on that one.
Did you get all this from the packet?
Yeah.
The one I had emailed, it was perfect.
Yeah, well, there are four in each of them, supposedly.
And that one, I don't know.
Yeah, but one of them is...
It's only the last one that's actually a summary. All the rest of them are just the agenda over again. But the last one actually has a summary to it.
It's a front page.
So I think they just put the wrong front page on.
This is the wrong front page.
But it has approved and all in favor.
Okay. And I tell you, before we approve anything, I'd like to know what we are approving.
Okay, on that?
Yeah, I have multiple.
Did you see?
But they're not the same.
I see what you're talking about.
Okay.
Where did you get those?
They're on the back there.
Yeah, because I have multiple duplicates. Everything is stapled together. The director's report's on top, but then everything else is underneath it.
Okay.
It is.
Okay. I printed my own.
I did too. Okay.
So which one of the one of them apparently is mislabeled, but only on the first page.
Really?
The date, right? At the bottom, yeah.
Well, and at the top. Both of them say October 17th, 2018, 6 p.m.
One of the top page from the summary got put onto the top page of the agenda for tonight instead of the top page of the agenda.
So the summary proceedings you should have says October 17th. That should be the only summary proceedings, and then...
There are two of them that say October 17th.
But one has the October date at the bottom, correct?
But the third one has October 17th on the bottom of the page on all four pages.
Right.
That's the one.
That's the one that's the actual summary. The other two four pagers are...
Duplicates.
Agendas, really.
There's like a party to go to.
There's no summary written in there, but there's summaries written.
Okay.
Well, and third time's the charm.
I have two copies of the one that says summary. Yeah, you're right, we're agenda. So I have two copies.
Yeah, so dump those.
We all got a whole bunch.
Dump those. That's superfluous. The third one is four pages. And on the bottom it says October 17th on all four pages.
Right, I have a copy of that.
That's the one.
That's the one you need to use.
Okay, so
I don't know.
Set those others aside, I think.
Dump them.
Yeah.
No, scratch paper.
I recycle. Yeah.
Okay. So are we good, Liz?
Just make sure we remind Amber how much we appreciate her.
Well, yes.
She just got a little carried away. She was excited to leave.
No, it wasn't her.
Oh. Okay. I think the printer got excited. That's the problem.
It was the untrained.
It's because she wasn't the one to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to move on here.
Sometimes
we need a motion to
receive. Okay, summary proceedings. I need a motion to call.
Are you straight, Liz?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I mean.
Glad to get that one done. Let me tell you what.
I didn't even read them. I mean, in 10 seconds, so I'm trying to figure out what's what. Never mind.
If you want to go over it and then email me,
yeah,
and then I'll get a hold of the person who's good at this.
Who knows what they're doing in this case?
Okay, we need to get going. Okay. Item C, consent agenda. These agenda items before the Animal Services Commission may be acted upon one motion if no member of the commission or audience wishes to comment or ask questions. There's only one item. Does anybody want to remove it from consent? It's been handled.
Move it. I don't want to remove it. I want to. You can ask and answer.
Okay. I guess I need to receive and file that also, right? Okay. So, motion to receive and file that item.
I make a motion to receive and file.
And I'll second. Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. And so we'll start with the first row, Liz.
No.
Okay, second row.
No.
Nothing? Last, you do have something?
Yeah, something.
I thought you said no. Okay.
She said yes.
No, I was looking at them.
See, I'm looking at you. Make sure that microphone's on. I hope it is. Yeah. You just bend it up. There you go.
I have a big mouth. I have good news.
Your name?
Oh, sorry. I don't know. Joan Payton. In almost 11 years of being at the shelter and trying to get help with the grooming volunteers, Nick doesn't even know this, I don't think. We have two volunteers that came in last week that are actual real-life groomers, not bathers, and their boss is starting tomorrow. So for the first time ever, there will be somebody besides me coming in, and they're going to come in every Thursday.
That's excellent.
So I'm very excited about that.
Real official. Okay.
last time, I heard rumors the staff was in very good mood, and I heard that they, somebody said we were this close to no kill. The staff was in a very good mood a couple of weeks ago.
Good.
Nick's looking at me like, huh?
Well, we're getting closer.
Nobody told him.
Thank you for all your work at the shelter as well, John. We appreciate it. Okay, last row, Larry? Anybody? Okay, please step up.
Way back there.
Calm down, that's okay.
No, that's the long walk.
It kind of looked like my boss used to look when I'd be coming to her office going, oh no, here she comes again. So. Anyhow, I just wanted to.
State your name, please.
Oh, Susan Richardson, 93306.
Beautiful.
Just a couple things tonight. I know you've asked a couple different times about their numbers and stuff, and people seem to kind of skate around that a little bit, but I personally believe that a lot of it has to do with a lot of the rescues that are helping out, pulling dogs from the shelters, as well as individuals that are diverting dogs from the shelters. For example, this year alone, okay, I've had 158 total dogs come to my home, but 28 of them being puppies. Now, some of them, yes, did come from the shelter that I had fostered, but a good majority of those were strays. I would be willing to bet probably 24 puppies and around, conservative estimate, 100 dogs that did not go to the shelter, that were stray homes and then eventually I'm rescued for. So I really
think that's quite a few.
Has, yes, and that's why I'm tired and I'm taking a break the rest of this year. Also, I wanted to, also a situation we had come up, I took a dog in that I was really concerned about, that was really shut down, and they, a lot of people, Danny Spanks, really advocated for it, and I want to commend April Manning at the shelter, who actually gave me a phone call to let me know what was going on, just in case I needed to be put down as a last resort for that dog. And I sincerely appreciated that very much. Whatever reason she called me, I don't care. The fact
she
is,
called.
She called.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So she needs to be commended, and I'm going to have something very special for her because of that. So I just need to know if
she's
Monday through Friday or what her hours are. She's generally there during the week?
She's Tuesday through Saturday, but she's going to be changing her schedule to Sunday through Thursday. But right now she's on a training assignment in
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Charleston.
She's learning about shelter medicine.
She'll be back like when?
She'll be back Friday. She'll be back the following week, Tuesday.
Like next week?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution of the 158 dogs.
That's,
I think.
A lot.
That's quite a few. That's a lot. Anyone else? No. Okay.
Can I make a comment really quick on just one of the points Susan brought up? Nick, I'm not sure if we know how many rescues participate you told me about this website that rescues and rescuers can use to make sure that they are able to kind of input their numbers somewhere when they pick up dogs and they don't go through the shelter system and stuff. Was it Make Shelter Dogs Count?
The website you're referring to is Shelter Animals Count.
Shelter Animals.
I don't know if that's the title of the website, but if you do a Google search for Shelter Animals Count, it'll bring that website up. I do not know if that website recognizes rescues that are not federal 501c3. I'm not sure how that works, but it's just a nationwide database for sheltering organizations to enter their intake and outcome data.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. That closes public presentations. Moving on to staff announcement, director's monthly report.
Give myself 2 minutes.
Good evening. Let me start off by, there's not too many people here, but our department, County Animal Services, did send 3 employees up to Butte County to assist in the campfire response. The largest wildfire in the state of California's history, as far as I know. When our staff was there, there was over 1,700 animals that were displaced that were being cared for. in 4 emergency animal shelters. As far as I know, there's still currently 1,300 animals that are being cared for in 1 mega animal shelter. You know, it was a lot of devastation, but the staff felt really good about doing what they could to help out. They spent 5 days up there. Actually, they gave up their Thanksgiving to help out the residents of Butte County. So I know that they're proud of that, and want to give some recognition to the staff that was there, giving up their holiday. Also, for everybody's knowledge, there should be some media information coming out about it. I did a press release, I think, yesterday. We have a new program. It's called the Holiday Hounds Program. It's basically an extension of the foster care program, where if you have, it's not too many people in here that can spread the word, but if you have a home that you can foster an animal for just for a few days, we're trying to get some dogs out into foster homes just for the holidays. We've had a lot of people that come in just to take a dog for a Friday through a Monday, and they're just shelter dogs that have been in the shelter for quite some time. We thought it would be a nice idea to get them out of the shelter for Christmas and New Year's. We did it for Thanksgiving. I think we got 5 dogs out for a period of time, and actually 3 of them got adopted by the foster parents, so they're foster failures.
Foster failures.
Spread the word. If anybody has the ability to give a temporary home, even just for a few days, the program's called Holiday Hounds. You can get a hold of Deanna, who's the go-to person for fostering. Moving right along, the director's report for the time period we're talking about, October. Rescue Partners have placed 160 animals in October, 134 animals in the month of November through rescue. Kind of like what Susan was talking about, the number that's not included there, it included there is how many animals were diverted from coming to this shelter and other shelters. The foster program continues to grow. Actually, I did want to touch on, I don't have the specific numbers right now, but we did, like I talked about before, we operated a kitten nursery for the first year. Just basic numbers, we saved probably about 80 kittens through the kitten nursery the first year. We closed it down for the season just because the intake had slowed down. But it was successful in the first year. I think 80 kittens or so is a good target there. We learned a lot about what we need to do for next year. We're probably going to be getting that started up again around February or March to open it back up again. Foster program in the month of October saw 106 animals entered into foster care. In the month of November, 89 animals entered foster care. One of those was in my home. Congratulations. It wasn't, I didn't want to. and she went to rescue, he went to rescue too. So. The TNR program continues to produce 8,110 cats have been altered through the TNR program to date. I did want to mention, if you've been here in Bakersfield or Kern County long enough, or if you've ever been to Hart Park before, you'll see that Hart Park has been taken over by feral cats. There's really no other way to put it. There's been a community of feral cats at Hart Park since as early as 1993. There's an organization here locally called the Cat People. They're an awesome organization. They do really good things. Part of what they do is they provide care, feed, water, and spay-neuter resources for the cats at Hart Park. I was at their stakeholder meeting on Sunday, and they, Barbara Hayes with the Cat People, she informed me and her stakeholders of an astounding number that they've spent over $800,000 since 2012 just caring for those cats at Hart Park. And that is simply medical care, like spay, neuter, and emergency medical care for those cats. And not even their cats. And that's not including all the additional resources, food, and time spent feeding out there. So obviously, it's a problem. I hate to call it a problem, but it's a problem that it keeps growing and growing and growing. The numbers are not declining. And it's been, the cat people have been operating out there since 1995. Through a contract with the county. The county has a contract with the cat people to allow them to care for those cats. It's an expectation almost. So 23 years they've been operating out there, and those numbers out there keep growing. We have recently engaged in some conversations with the county administrative office, with the Department of General Services in the county, the park rangers, animal services, and the cat people. The county of Kern, I don't know the exact numbers, but they've received about $2 million and grant funding from the state of California for some park improvements in Kern. And one of the parks that they want to provide some improvement to is Hart Park. So, you know, the county had approached me about a year and a half ago to start picking my brain about how we can start reducing the overall number of cats out at Hart Park, you know, without doing something drastic, like just removing feeders, you know, and kicking the cat people out. So, I mean, we talked about spay-neuter, we talked about adoption events, but overall, the conclusion we came to is that if anything is to be done, the amount of cats that are being brought out there in the first place has to stop.
That's the best thing.
So, and in the conversations we've had with Barbara Hayes, with the cat people, she's been at this for 23 years, you know, and she is, and most of her volunteers too, are very cognizant that they've been working their tails off and they're just not getting anywhere because it's, the problem is getting worse and worse. So it was good timing, I think, for the county to come and have a conversation about how we can have a humane solution to the cats at Hart Park. So it's very beginning stages of this, but what we've started to do is the county is working with the cat people to determine alternate feeding stations out at Hart Park that are away from the public view and that are away from the street. They're going to reduce the number of feeding stations. There's 29 feral cat feeding stations out at Hart Park currently. They're going to reduce that to 6 and still allow for relatively the same amount of food to be given out, but concentrated feeding instead of just all over the place. And then in addition to that, the cat people are trapping cats, mostly friendly cats, bringing them into the county so that we can place them through adoption. We've gotten about 10 cats so far from Hart Park. If they're not still in the shelter now, they've already had a positive outcome. So they've been, either went to adoption or through rescue. A lot of the cats out there are friendly. It's anybody's guess as to how friendly cats are turning up out there. But that's a good thing because we set a goal of working for the next 6 to 8 months at removing cats from Hart Park, bringing them into the shelter so that we can find permanent placement for them, so that the community there is much smaller, easier to manage, and can eventually dwindle through attrition, and it's a humane solution to it. But a big part of it, which when I say we, I mean Animal Services, is leaning heavy on the County Administrative Office to develop a strategic marketing plan to make it in the public that taking your cat to Hart Park is not a humane solution for that cat. It's not gonna live some wonderful life. There's a lot of cats out there, it takes a lot of resources. And there's also, you know, we've talked that there's a false belief that if you take a cat into the county shelter, it's gonna be destroyed like that, and that's not the case anymore. We save over 80% of the cats that come to us. So there's things like that that I think people don't understand, and so they take the alternative to take the cats to Hart Park. It's anybody's guess how often people are abandoning cats at Hart Park. But we've also stationed a semi-permanent animal control officer at Hart Park Wednesday through Sunday so that she can get a better idea and be very visible to try and prevent people from taking cats out there in the first place. And there's been a lot of conversations with the park rangers about what to look for. There's a lot happening so that we can try to find a humane solution to the problem at Hart Park. So it's a really good collaboration. I haven't really talked to anybody about this yet. We were going to post something on social media just to kind of let the public know, hey, this is a collaboration that we're going to be looking at in the future. The cat people wanted some time to talk to their stakeholders, their feeders that are out at Hart Park, to let them know that this is the direction that we're going in. Alternately, if you know people, and there's a lot of them, if you know people who are feeding cats at Hart Park that are not volunteers for the cat people, please ask them to stop. The county has actually made badges for the cat people volunteers based on what the cat people are telling us. And those are the only people that are authorized to be feeding those cats out there. And what we're seeing is there's a lot of people that just come out on their lunch break and dump big bags of cat food in the street and leave plates and trash and napkins all over the place. So once those concentrated feeders get located, that's going to be the only spot that people can feed cats out there. So if you know people that are actively feeding cats out there, please ask them to stop, or ask them to contact the cat people and become a cat person, cat people volunteer, and then feed that way. So that's a major collaboration we're trying to work on. It's a long-term solution, but I wanted to let everybody know.
Mr. Chair, could I
Well, when he's finished, here's the way it's going to go. We're going to ask questions, then I'll open it up to the public after.
Oh, no, is that Liz's phone ringing?
I know I asked everybody to turn them to mute, didn't I?
Who's calling? Liz, you have a cell phone?
It's a flip phone.
And it's a flip.
It's a flip phone.
Okay, I'll get back on track. In the month of October, 442 animals went to their new families. Actually, the same number in November, 442. Year-to-date, 5,226 animals have been adopted. We didn't have any adoptions through PETCO locations, as I mentioned last time, I think in October. We literally didn't have any volunteers to care for the cats out there. Thankfully, PETCO called us about a week or two ago and said, hey, send us cats and we'll clean them. So the PETCO and Gosford now has cats again. So our next meeting, I should have some adoptions happening at PETCO. We had no shortage of events in the month of October and November. We also had a generous donation from the Heigl Foundation, which I may have touched on last meeting. They gave us $10,000 to provide free parvo distemper vaccinations for the entire community, city or county. We've since issued about 2,600 free vaccinations, parvo distemper vaccinations. We probably have about 600 or 700 left. And the Friends Foundation is preparing to give us another $5,000 to continue giving free vaccinations. So big thanks to the Heigl Foundation and the Friends Foundation as well. We had our Make Kern No Kill 5K Fun Run and Fall Festival. That's a long phrase. That was an event that we had at Hart Park, really just intended to get the public's awareness of the efforts for Kern County to become no kill. It was very well received. I don't remember the exact name of participant, number of participants, but there was quite a few runners out there. And we were told by the Bakersfield Track Club that it was the number of runners that we had was a very successful 5K. So it was really good. A few people in this room were there. We've had some successful adoption events, also a spay neuter clinic in Lamont in those months of October, November. Field services, our totals for October, 1,345 calls for service. The leading area in calls for service was once again Northeast Bakersfield. In the month of November, 1,120 calls for service. Once again, in the month of November, the leading jurisdiction for activities in the field were Northeast Bakersfield, 335. 17 dogs were returned to their owners in the field in the month of October, 13 returns to their owners in November, 48 dogs were secured on property in October, 51 in November. The other thing I just wanted to highlight is that we're approaching end of calendar year, and there's times when we go by calendar year and fiscal year, sometimes arbitrarily, but because we're approaching the end of the calendar year, I did want to point out that the euthanasia statistics for the department, I think we're close to 1,500 animals less euthanized this year than the year before. So it's pretty significant, and I think that just speaks volumes to really the people in this room and the job that everybody does to preach responsible pet ownership and save animals from shelter death. I can answer any questions.
Okay, questions from commissioners? Any questions? I've got one or two. Yeah, you're right about the euthanasia. The actual number that is less than last year, 1,504 fewer animals that were put down, and I think that's just amazing. You know, we're seeing history in action here. When we see figures like this, like for the cats, we euthanized 47% this year than we did last year, and with the dogs about 20%. So 1,504 fewer animals got put down than in the previous year. So I think that's excellent. I didn't see any volunteer data on here as far as how many hours. Did I miss it or did you know?
No, we're in the process of changing the system that we use to tabulate that data.
Okay.
And on top of that, our volunteer coordinator has been off duty for quite some time. So,
I was going to ask you a question.
But as we move forward, that data is going to take a different appearance. This is a different program we're using to tabulate that data. So I'll try to explain it when it comes.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. On the parvo, we were bracing ourselves for a huge epidemic, I think, the last couple of months.
The parvo?
I think that's...
No, distemper.
Oh, distemper, I mean, yeah. How is that?
How is?
I mean, is it? Have you? Is it under control or
an increase?
Increase? No. The only way to tell if a dog has distempers is send it out for veterinary testing. So our veterinarian does periodic testing, sporadic testing on animals in the general adoption kennels and animals that are currently under treatment. The last two rounds of testing, which would probably be about the last 2 months worth of data, she's had one dog that turned up positive for distemper,
okay.
And that was a dog that was in foster care being treated for distemper. So, but make no mistake, that's not the end of distemper. We're going to see it.
No.
Constantly.
It's a work in progress.
And that's why we're doing the free vaccinations.
Yeah. I see that in addition to the euthanasia numbers, the rescue on cats has really improved. 28% more were rescued than this time last year. You've got a couple more new rescue groups, I take it, than you had previous?
Not for cats, no. But it ebbs and flows.
Okay.
I mean, we're really one of the only rescues that we have that pulls shelter cats is meow coat. And sometimes they have space and take more than they did before.
Okay, good.
Meow coat? Meow coat, yeah.
Meow coat.
Used to be socks rescue.
On the overall live outcome rate, which is the first number that I key on, and you do too, but last year, for the first 11 months, we were saving about 64% of the animals that were coming through the shelter. This year, it was really good to start off. We were at like 80% the first 5 months of the year. We're about 73% right now through the end of November. So that's from, 64 to 72. So that's an 8 percentage point improvement. So good going. It's a work in progress. It might take the 4 or 5 years, but we are going to get there. We're going to get there. Someone said we're really close. But we got a little bit, we got to get to 90% to be considered. And on the intake, the intake numbers are really favorable too. I mean, we've got 16% less cats and about 10% fewer dogs. For whatever reason, fewer intakes. So that helps on the numbers. And so those are the end of my questions. I'll open up to Liz. You had a question on this?
I want to go back to Hart Park. I don't stand it. you know that I know Carol. And she's one of the feeders. And she and I had a discussion, and I live near Hart Park. When you say it's overrun with cats, there are a lot of cats there. But because of the cat people's efforts, I ran into Bob LaRude 6 years ago, who's now retired, and he said if it weren't for the cat people's efforts, you couldn't get into Hart Park. So they have really been doing a lot of good work. The problem is not that the cats in Hart Park are reproducing. They're not. Cat people are sterilizing them. It's that people are dumping. Hart Park has been known for centuries, practically, as a place to dump. And Carol told me one day she went to one of the feeding stations, did her others, came back to the first one. Within an hour, there were two kittens that had been dumped there. I want to understand where the CAO's office is coming from, because what I heard from Carol is not quite what you presented tonight. I was given to understand, and I may not have understood what she told me, but I was given to understand that the CAO's office wants no cats in Hart Park by June 30th, 2018, and they don't care how they are gotten rid of. Can you respond to that if you've been working with...
Liz, I'll respond to whatever you want.
Well, because you're saying 6 to 8 months. 8 months is past June 30th. You're saying we're, working. The other thing, what I was told, is one of the bright ideas that the CAO's office has is to put up signs that say, naughty, naughty people, don't dump cats here. To me, that's one of the stupidest ideas on the face of the earth. signs about don't feed cats here may reach a more literate population just for openers.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to interrupt here. We're way off the agenda.
Well, he brought up Hart Park and said that...
But the agenda is the director's report, Liz. I'm sorry.
I can answer your questions.
Okay, but I think it needs to be clarified what's going on here.
So I cannot speak for the county administrative officer. I haven't been in closed-door discussions with him to figure out what his long-term program is, but I can tell you that General Services is installing permanent, cemented into concrete, 4-foot by 2-foot cat feeders. So that is an acknowledgement that there's going to be cats there.
Okay.
It's not some sort of temporary paper, you know, feeders. They're cemented into the ground. As far as signage is concerned, on Sunday afternoon, I was lucky enough to sit in on a stakeholder meeting with the cat people. The cat people are asking for signage at Hart Park. They want signage at Hart Park. And the county agrees that everything that should be done needs to be the same message, which is highly legal to dump cats out here. And then there needs to be a marketing campaign that's behind that to dispel the myth that they're going to live some wonderful life when you take them out to Hart Park. And that they could very well be better off in the shelter. Not that the putting up a sign that says it's illegal to dump cats is going to be the end-all be-all, it's not, but I got with Phil Blake the other day, any societal problem is usually not going to be one contributing factor that made it happen, but it's also not going to be one solution that solves it. It could be a small part of the equation. Putting up signs that say don't feed is tough because feeding feral cats is not illegal. You can try to convince people not to do it, but there's no law that prevents it. On the contrary, there's laws that protect people that do it. So that's a tough thing that we approach. You know, how do we stop people from feeding feral cats when it's not illegal to do so? But that's, you know, I talked to Carol as well, and I talked to Barbara, and, you know, we are trying to steer the ship between Barbara and the cat people and those cats and the county administrative office to figure out a humane solution. And just from my opinion, I like the way it's going. Are we always going to make the right decision? No, we might make some boneheaded blunders. I don't think we've made them at all yet. But I think it's going in a good direction. Like I said, I had a meeting on Sunday, and a lot of their feeders were there and seemed to be very receptive of the idea of taking this path to try and start paring the adoptable numbers down, so that those 6 feeding stations can at least maintain whatever ferals are left to be fed, and hopefully there will eventually come a day when there's dispelling of the myth that dump cats out there. And I agree, like you, that it's been longer than time has existed that people were taking cats out there and other animals. So I don't know, it's going to be an enforcement effort to try and stop it from happening in the first place. But I agree, I mean, the cat people have done God's work since 1995, caring for those animals.
Okay, second row, any questions?
I'm here.
Susan?
Back here.
Third row.
Just a couple things. I'll clarify. When I bring in a cat, because I've been told 2 different things, when I bring in a cat for TNR, regardless of whether they're friendly or not, do they have to be in a cat trap versus a carrier?
They have to be in a trap.
Okay, because I've been told twice, so I just want to get clear. So it doesn't matter if they're how friendly they are.
No, it doesn't. I mean, we'll make exceptions if you bring us the sweetest cat in the world and he happens to be in a carrier. But I mean, look, we see people bringing in cats in shopping carts and all kinds of things. So
Jesus. Yeah. And then the other thing is, could you clarify, because it just says others. You know, under others, when it's where it says adoption, diet, disposal, euthanize, and all that, what does that others cover?
Are you referring to the other animal type?
Yeah, on your staff.
So it could be, I mean, it could be chickens, roosters, more often than not, it's roosters. It could be horses, livestock. It could be just about anything other than a dog or a cat that we see at the shelter.
So you get just pretty much everything over there.
Yeah, we obviously don't pick up stray goldfish, but
if I bring them in, we take them.
Yeah, I'll take it. But when we have an other that comes in, usually because some extenuating circumstance, we either some sort of criminal case or somebody passed away and we just took the animals right by the place in court.
Okay. Also, just an observation. I agree. I don't think signs are going to really do a whole lot because people that dump animals to begin with, whether they're cats, dogs, or whatever they are, could really care less about signs or laws or anything, obviously, or they wouldn't be doing it. And I think the cat people do a wonderful job, and they've done a terrific job out there. Yeah, it can be kind of a pain in the butt for the community, but you know, I think that they've done a wonderful job addressing that problem, and I certainly hope it continues. And I know it's hard, you're hard pressed. Everybody's hard pressed to find a solution of the dump dogs, you know, the backyard breeders and stuff, and there's just not enough manpower and resources to do the job that really needs to be done, and that's just what's kind of sad for the county.
Okay. Any other questions in the back row? Okay.
Good question. Nick, do y'all have an owner surrender fee if someone has a cat who has a litter of kittens and they want to turn the kittens in? Is there a fee involved with that?
It's $20.
Okay.
Up it?
No, you can't up the owner surrender fee. The reason I asked is because cats have ended up at our place, and once upon a time we tracked somebody down, and their explanation was that they couldn't afford the surrender fees, and so the parent of the group was going to drown them, and the child instead convinced them to put them on our doorstep. So I wasn't sure what the surrender fee was, or if there was one, or how. Is it $20 per cat?
It's $20 per cat unless the kittens are under 8 weeks of age.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
When I'm up here and I'm telling you these things, there's a myriad of conversations that happen that I'm not telling you about,
right?
Because I would be up here forever. One of the many conversations we had is that probably cats that are being taken out there are being taken out there to avoid the owner surrender fee.
Right.
So we're aware that that's a contributing factor as well.
I just wanted to clarify what it was. So, just for my own education.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we need a motion to receive and file the director's report.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Thank you. Thanks, Nick. Spay and neuter update, Blake. I didn't get that one.
There you go. I am Blake Smith. I am the business manager, and I'm going to talk about spay neuter. It's just plugging along. But I think the interesting thing that we had between this meeting and the prior meeting is Valley Vet coordinated with, and that's a group out of Simi Valley, they coordinated with the animal advocates up in Lake Isabella. They used our vouchers to do a big spay-neuter thing, and they, in 2 days, they spay-neutered 62 different animals. So what that did is it skewed our data just a little bit in the redemption rates. So our redemption rates changed rather significantly. So the redemption rate, for the voucher redemption rate went from 77% to 82% since the last meeting. And our outlying surgeries went up, and our vouchers for the target area went down by percentage, by the exact same amount. And another thing is that's kind of interesting is our Save the Pitties redemption rate went from 55% to 69%. And I don't have an explanation for that. So I looked at it and it just seemed to step up. So, yeah. And we have almost fully expended the food and ag grant. So we've got, we actually don't have enough money in there right now to bring Valley Vet up one more time. So we're going to figure out what we're going to do with that. But we're going to fully utilize that. And we've been doing those, all of those surgeries in Lamont. So.
Blake, I have a question.
Hold on, Susan. Hold on. Any questions from the commissioners on that report before we open it up?
I'm good.
Okay, first row. Second row. Susan, you're up.
On the outlying areas, which areas does that include?
It includes anything that is not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Say somebody that's in shelter, and I know they have their own shelter, but they don't have the funds for spay and neuter stuff. Can someone from shelter come to the county shelter and get a voucher, like, or to get the, if they have a pit, to get it fixed free?
This, our program is for people who are in the unincorporated area of the county. So cities like Shafter and Bakersfield and
Delano, Taya,
all those, they need to have their own. And there's a perfect solution for that, because we got this food and ag grant because we provided the data that the state requests. And that's all you have to do to get the grant is provide the data. And all of these other jurisdictions can provide the data to us, which we provide to the state, and that'll make them eligible for a food and ag grant where they can do their own spay neuter. So,
easy peasy.
You know, it's just, but they have to provide us the data so that we can provide it to the state.
And when you say data, what exactly are you talking about having to provide to them? Like, there's 5,000 pit bulls running around chapter?
No, it isn't that, but it's licensing. It's a rabies report, so it's focused on rabies activities. So,
okay.
And so yeah, it's how many rabies shots and how many licenses, and so it's. It's really a pretty simple and straightforward report. They should have that data, and if they provide the data, I think it includes how many adoptions they had. It's really quite simple. It's just.
I mean, it's similar to the director's report, right? And in some ways,
it's much simpler. It's like one page.
Right. And you're saying currently the Bakersfield City and Shafter and those other municipalities aren't.
They're not reporting the data to us. When we submit the report, we include Arvin and Tehachapi because of our agreement with them, we already have their data. So, the rest of them can do the same thing by submitting our data. Because we ask for it, we send them all an email saying, send us your data, and then when we get to the deadline, they haven't sent it, so we send it in with what we've got.
So you're saying that they would send you the data and you would get the funding to help them?
No, just by submitting the data, they can apply for their own grant. We don't get the funding. They have to to apply for their own grant.
To Food and Ag?
To the state Food and Ag.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thanks, Blake. Okay.
Mr. Chair, can I add one thing?
Go ahead.
In my experience with vouchers, people say they live at such and such an address in Shafter, or Delano, or Taft, or Bakersfield. And when you ask them if they live in the incorporated city of Shafter, Bakersfield, Delano, Taft, so on, or the outside, the unincorporated area, they have no clue. Because their post office address is Shafter, they think they live in the city. So I go on the some site, I forget what, and determine, maybe MapQuest, I don't know. But many times, Susan, they just don't know. And they, in fact, do live outside the city limit. So they would be eligible. The little cities do not give their own vouchers. Bakersfield is the only one that does. The other solution, you can say what you want, is ask them if they have a relative or friend. If they live within those incorporated city limits, do they have a relative or friend 6 blocks away that has a county address? And does that person, ever take care of the animal and things like that? But people don't know where they live.
Thanks,
Liz. Just so you know, the city of Ridgecrest has their own vouchers. That's the only other city. Ridgecrest has their own voucher program.
Bakersfield has it?
No, Ridgecrest.
No, but Bakersfield has it, we know.
Yeah.
And then Ridgecrest is the only of the other, I think there are 6 incorporated cities.
Yeah.
6 or 8.
Yeah, the city of Ridgecrest does have their own voucher program.
Thanks, Blake. Okay, need a motion to receive and file this.
Need a motion to receive and file the sustaining report.
A second.
All in favor? Opposed? No. Thank you. Thank you very much. Commissioners' announcements or reports?
I'll just report on our subcommittee.
Well, we're going to get there.
Oh,
we're going to get there.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Besides that, any other news? Debbie?
Okay, well, Nick is going to update on the subcommittee and old business. The only other thing I have is the Kern branch of Central California Animal Disaster Team is now deploying up to Paradise starting tomorrow.
Good.
So I will be there tomorrow, and we'll send one at a time so we keep our part of Kern Tehachapi covered. So we'll be up there for a bit. And Nick and his group went, as he said, so it should be interesting. Hopefully they're going to start closing down. They condensed the one shelter to the mega shelter. I'm going to the livestock shelter, so I don't know how that's going, but that's all I got.
I'd like to hear a report next month. That's good. Anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Old business, staff referrals. We didn't have any staff referrals, did we? Okay. Now, ordinance change subcommittee.
There it is. Nick?
I can give a recap. We met today at 3 o'clock, lasted about 90 minutes or so. We came to some agreements on some language for some ordinances that we'd like to have added or changed. Specifically, ordinances regarding restraint on property, how long you can keep an animal restrained. We agreed on the language to change it from 12 hours in a 24-hour period to 3 hours in a 24-hour period, which is in line with the state penal codes. We came to an agreement on the revision to the restraint ordinance that governs the trolley system or a tethering system to kind of define that and clarify under what circumstances you can keep your animal exclusively restrained on that mechanism. We came to an agreement on of some further clarification on the animal care requirements as it applies to water. And that is a reference to our officers that came forward when we talked about ordinance revisions, and they've had citations kicked out of court where they've issued owner citations because they had no water. And the courts had said, well, because there's no ordinance that says water has to be provided at all times, then the citation was thrown out. So we came up with some language that specifically says under certain circumstances, all animals have to be provided potable water at all times. We've also came to an agreement on an addition to the current ordinances on that restricts or prohibits tethering of roosters on properties, and also gives some care requirements for roosters on properties. We also touched on some definitions in the ordinances, redefining dog, adding in a definition for training, what training means. If I'm missing anything, that's about it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Nick because he's keeping us going. He had an agenda all put together and thoughts and ideas and lots of research. So we're moving along well.
Yeah. I just want to extend my thank you to Nick as well. I think he's been doing a really fabulous job researching all these other areas, what their ordinances are, and translating them over to our current ones to make sure that, you know, there's things that are enforceable for our animal control officers. And I kind of feel that everybody in that subcommittee feels like he's been doing a good job. So just thank you for taking it on and for doing all that extra.
Really, yeah, thanks for your help. Thank you for your comment. Any comments on? Okay, as far as the public goes, any comments on the subcommittee? I'll open it. Liz?
No, sir.
Second row?
No.
Third row?
I just have one question.
Okay.
We talk about the stray holds. The county ordinance is after 15 days, the animal's yours, you now own it if you still have it, and you would charge an owner surrender fee if I brought in the animal, correct?
That's not a county ordinance. That's a state penal code. It's a state law, not a county ordinance.
Okay, my understanding was California state law was 30 days, though.
There is no local ordinance that calls your that stray animal yours after 15 days. It's a state law.
I should have brought it. Because it's cited quite often on the sites about that. So I would just wonder, the question was if it's there, why there's a difference, you know, a conflict with what the state says and what the county ordinance says. So you're telling me if I hold an animal for 15 days and bring it in and say it's a stray, because I've heard with the deer, people have been told, well, if you consider your animal now, so you got to pay the owner's surrender fee.
So I don't know that this applies to the subcommittee. However,
because I was under the understanding it was in the ordinance and regulations in the county. That's why I asked.
I don't know the penal code off the top of my head. I don't know what section it's in. But once you've been providing care for an animal for 15 days or more, the animal is legally your responsibility.
Okay.
But that is not a local ordinance.
Okay.
Then whose law or regulation is it?
The state of California.
State of California.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions back row on this item? Okay. Turn to new business. We have zero. Our next meeting is Wednesday, January 16th, 2019, instead of 18.
Can you make note that I will not be here?
Debbie will not be here. Okay.
Make sure we have a quorum.
Okay. So, adjournment. We need a...
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Yeah. A second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
That wasn't bad.
I think that you should have made a comment on it that stayed and lasted until 8 o'clock and kicking people out.
Kicking people out? Well, if I could call one up on the end. But yeah.
This one didn't count. You have to come back.
It was okay. This one was really quiet and boring. Yeah. It was really, really quiet. Most of the time I have to tell them 3 or 4 times. Okay. Way off the agenda. Back to what we were talking about.
No, that was never discussed. Not in any meeting that I was in.
You don't listen, and sometimes some people get overly hostile. They're not happy.
We also talked about the option of
it gets interesting.
There have been a couple meetings where she went and turned to me and said, go get security.
Yeah, and that was not because they were getting upset with me so much as they were getting upset with
me. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that we have a lot of things that I don't see the board is
It's calmer now.
It's
very calm.
So, pretty sure as soon as we make the recommendation, they'll probably implement it. Yeah.
Holy terror.
It's really good stuff. It's honestly like,
liven up the new year.
What you're telling me, what Barbara told me, and what Carol was telling me is that most of the
students obviously in Cal State government, basic government, roof students that have to come to a meeting and write a paper about it.
Yes, and they're funny.
Which, by the way,
they are. It's like some of them are just like they're just doing everything they can to endure it.
Yeah.
And then there's that it's just hurt their interest and they start asking all these questions.
That's going to help when they see it. I've never heard of that.
But they're out. They're not in session right now. So
no.
Another crew in January
again. We'll be back. They're having an assignment.
Okie dokie. Go upstairs. Good night, guys.
Good night. You guys, everybody have a holiday. Good holiday.
Merry Christmas.
I was going to help this cat, but I'll bring it to you. No, what needs to be done is the rangers need to understand what laws and principles
others that are
and our ACO needs to be there.
I didn't know the
agenda that you had to mention you. But yes, this and not just during the day. Yeah, we can't have them there tonight. But we were able to at least change somebody's schedule to her dismay. so that she's there Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah, well, you said Wednesday. That's good, because it is weekends. And when it is, I think, Colin, is at home. Right.
Yes, enjoy your holiday.
And you know,
you too.
I don't know. It's one of those societal issues. Like, well, nobody knows the truth about why people are bringing that. They make assumptions, but I think it's a bunch of things combined. But I also think, like, I know signs aren't going to be end all be all. That's probably not going to offend anybody. But at least if the signs are up there, if there's people out there that think it's okay, even though they know it's illegal.
They know they shouldn't.
So, Liz,
we also talked about cameras.
Yes.
Catching somebody doing it is
probably the best deterrent
from it happening.
But you know what's going to happen to the cameras within 30
select,
seconds
right?
of their being put up?
It's the one on the left.
There'll be vandalers.
I don't think they're going to use, like, okay. You know, Canon pure shots. They're going to stick in a tree. I'm assuming they'll put them in locations that aren't going to be.
I don't make that assumption about idiot bureaucrats.
You probably should sometimes.
So I was talking, I had a firefighter that I come,
there.
You know, come
look
to
who's
me.
Text.
Oh.
I haven't heard from Susan in a long time.
And he said, what do I do about my neighbor's cats? They're driving me nuts. And I said, well, you know, I told him. And he goes, you know, I'm not going to mess with that. I think I'll just go dump in a power pole. That's the mentality, and that it's ingrained into our system. He's a nice guy. He's a law-abiding citizen type person.
So I know these go up.
They need. I think the sign doesn't hurt, because it says, you know, it's a $2,500 fine if you dump animals out here.
And what court is going to impose a $2,500 fine?
Now, I will agree with a little bit of both of you, because I don't think a sign's going to deter anybody from doing it.
You know, it's sign.
If anything, it just raises awareness.
Well, I love it. When I go out of California,
raise my awareness about one more thing on screen.
And I come back in. There's a sign there in San Bernardino County, and I think it's $1,800 for dumping an animal in San Bernardino County. And
well, you know, I go to if signs worked. Then we should put signs on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and say, hi, boys and girls, it's illegal to murder your bro.
Liz, I'm going to tell you this only because you're Liz, and don't burn me for it. The county administrative office had a different plan, and it wasn't this one. And it took a lot of convincing.
I think that's what Carol was telling me.
Carol is making assumptions that she's not sure.
Okay.
Now, their plan, literally,
was to clean it up.
Was to knock the feeders down.
Right.
And then, you know, have the cat people remove the cats from the park. And you can't do that.
Well.
And listen, what I had to mention and bring up to whoever it was, and it wasn't Ryan.
It wasn't Alsop?
No, it was some other people. As I had to say, what you don't understand, or what you're not taking into account, is that you, the county, is complicit in building that community of cats out there, because you've allowed this organization under contract to feed them for the last 23 years. You can't go and knock down the feeders now.
I hear you.
That's ridiculous.
No, I hear you. And
we're in a position right now where it's like, General Services has told us, the county administrative office has told us, look, we have 6 to 8 months before we start construction. So we need to work something out. So we're like,
okay.
there's a hard time frame here that me and Barbara and Carol, we have to get those cats out of there and find them homes. And now, like I said, I haven't like sat across from Alsop and said, hey, what's your long-term plan? Because he's probably going to tell myself.
You're right.
I don't have time to talk to you about cats.
Right.
But the fact that they're cementing feeders into the ground, like, that's an acknowledgement, I think, on their part that there's going to be cats out there in the long term.
And if there's only three of them, that's fine. That's
and
what we'd like.
The Kern County Director of Communications, which is a relatively new position, I think she's 2 years in the job, her task is to develop a marketing strategy.
Oh, please.
Through news, radio, and TV, to make sure people know that it's a problem at Hart Park. The cats aren't living some peachy life, and that there has to be alternatives.
Nobody thinks they are, Colin. Do
you think
anybody thinks
yes,
they are?
I absolutely think
Why?
People
yes,
believe
is.
I think so.
That it's a wonderful, nice little community.
There's squirrels out there.
There's old ladies feeding these cats, and they're going to be
and little ladies, little old ladies come out and yes, they feed them, and it's all and so yes, it's wonderful.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's malicious people that are doing real malicious things, but I think people have this belief like, oh, it's a wonderful community, and the cats are going to live. They're going to frolic and
be wild.
Like, no, it's a hard life for a cat.
Yeah.
Especially a domesticated cat. There's domesticated cats being brought out there.
Do you think dumping a domesticated cat?
Yeah, no, my friend picked up, like, a big orange cat and took it home when she was hiking at Hart Park because it just came up to everybody and started rubbing on the... Yeah.
Do you not get sterilized enough?
He is. Or actually, he was not, and then she fixed him. And then
there's my officer who's out there, Officer Klein. She pulled up...
Oh, Klein's out there?
Klein's out there, yeah.
I've killed her.
She pulled up last Thursday, and we had asked her to go to different areas of the park and try to do a head count from what she could see, you know, because she counted like 85 cats the first day, and we thought, she's only seeing 85, there's probably three times that day that she's not seeing. But she parked, she got out of the truck, she went to her back bin to get something, and when she came back, there was two cats in the floorboard of her truck.
Oh, wow.
Meow! Like purring. Waiting for somebody to drop food.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's
but it just goes to show, like, a lot of those cats are perfectly fine.
Well, and that in the time it took her to get out and come back.
Right. But Barbara, no, like, she can't continue this madness. Like, there has to be a solution.
But, you know, I so appreciate you're exactly right in pointing out to them that they're the ones that have been giving the cat people a contract for 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they knew it would turn into this.
Well, yeah,
still,
yeah.
I mean...
But that's remembering the old days when everybody sat up here on the dais and said, you are irresponsible people because you don't get your out of the state.
Just know, Liz, that if I ever lose my job, it's probably because I opened my mouth.